Well, everybody, it's great to be with you, and we have just read together Galatians chapter 1 with particular emphasis at the top of this mini-series on verses 11 and 12 and 23. And my brothers, I make known to you the gospel which was preached by me, Galatians 1:11, that it is not according to man. Now, this doesn't mean that his gospel was completely different from the gospel that other people were preaching, because he's going to explain in verse 11 that it's not according to man because I did not receive it from men, nor was I taught it, bracket, by a man, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul was proclaiming to the Galatian assemblies, to the people in Galatia, was a gospel that was given to him by revelation. Later, of course, in verse 17, we know he went into Arabia, and we would suspect that he received further instructions there from the Lord. It's a bit of an assumption, but most expositors do that. If we wanted to speculate about the time, we would be very tempted to suspect about 40 days, wouldn't we? A very, very Jewish number, 40, the number of probation. Interesting, isn't it, that a lot of people see that Paul received a gospel here in Galatians by revelation, and immediately they think of the mystery. For those of you who've never done a word search, I recommend you do a word search through Galatians from verse 1 to the end of chapter 6 and see if you can find the word mystery. The word mystery does not occur in the book of Galatians. And there are so many people who want to associate this gospel which Paul received in the Acts period, as recorded in this Galatian epistle, with the dispensation of the grace of God, which was also given to Paul by revelation. And I've just posted Ephesians 3:2, which says, "Since you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me toward you." And notice verse 3, "that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Now, as right dividers of the word of truth, it is our obligation to test things that are different. If we get hung up on the word revelation, then we're going to we're going to totally ignore the principle of testing things that are different, Philippians 1:10, and we're going to smolch things together, aren't we? We're going to say that the gospel Paul received in Galatians is, oh, well, there it is, it's the dispensation of the grace of God. But you'll find in Galatians that what Paul was given by revelation is the gospel of Christ. And we're going to look at some of these Galatian elements. We're going to look at Paul's gospel. We're going to look at what Paul preached in Galatians, what he wrote about in Galatians. Instead of taking verses 11 and 12 of Galatians chapter 1 and jumping over to Ephesians, which is the want of many an expositor, we're staying in Galatians. And we're going to have a look at the gospel that Paul proclaimed as he wrote. You know, it's a wonderful and glorious thing that the Bible explains the Bible. And one of the first things we learn as Bible students and Bible expositors is to stay in context. And if we find anyone explaining Galatians by jumping straight out of Galatians and turning to Ephesians, then they are not staying in the context. So back we go to Galatians, and we're going to have a look at chapter 1. And we will see in verse 4, as I pointed out in the preliminary, we'll start at verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, writes the apostle, who gave himself for our sins. Ah! Now there's a wonderful part of this glorious gospel given to Paul by revelation. And when we see gave himself for our sins, we begin to remember, do we not, that the 12 apostles, as recorded in the Gospels, and particularly Peter, when the Lord spoke about the fact that he would have to be rejected and suffer at the hands of the elders, they could not understand what he was talking about. They said, no, let not this happen to you, Lord, says Peter, or words to that effect. It wasn't until after the Lord's resurrection that he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. And it was Peter, who got up and spoke about Jesus of Nazareth, the one that Israel had suffered and been crucified by the people ignorantly, that this one indeed was the Messiah. Peter understood about substitution, identification, and as he said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, to him all the prophets give witness that whoever believes in him should have forgiveness of sins. So Paul's gospel, as revealed in Galatians, contains a wonderful and glorious fundamental element, that Christ died for our sins. Remember, however, that salvation has two parts. If there's one thing I would encourage you to remember in this room, is that when you think of salvation, please don't think solely and entirely and only of Christ dying on the cross. Yes, that is an essential and initial part of salvation. No other name given among men under heaven, remember Acts 4:12, I think it is, whereby anybody must be saved. But salvation includes not only the exodus or the deliverance from the bondage of sin and sins, it includes the eisodus or the way in. So here is this wonderful verse 4 again. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ give himself for our sins, writes Paul to the Galatians, but in order that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now then, it's wonderful that the word deliver means to save or rescue from. It occurs in Acts 7:34, Acts 12:11, and 23:27. Let's see if I can grab one of those to show you this word, deliver. We'll go to Acts 23:27. This man was taken by the Jews and would have been killed, writes Claudius Lysias. Then I came with an army and rescued him. Rescued him. That's the word deliver from the present evil age. So not only is there dying for sins in Galatians 1:4, but the anticipated deliverance from this evil age or world. Peter says, save yourself from this untoward generation, remember, in his gospel in Acts chapter 2. So back to Galatians chapter 1, and we find a wonderful fundamental element in the opening doxology of the apostle. Christ, who gave himself for our sins, and that's as true today as ever it will be. And in 1 Corinthians, written probably after Galatians, but we won't be really standing on our dig about the timing of these letters. But in 1 Corinthians 15:3, the Apostle Paul says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." There's the same gospel given by revelation in Galatians and Corinthians, both Act period letters. And of course, Corinthians adds that great salutary statement that it's according to the scriptures. When we see Paul writing like this, we begin to appreciate what it really means when he says to reveal his Son in me. The revelation of God's Son to the Apostle Paul included the understanding that God's Son died for the sins of the world, as John the Baptist so wonderfully heralded when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Staying in 1 Corinthians 15, yes, I know, this is very familiar. Verse 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." So the first thing we notice is that Paul's gospel given by revelation included Christ dying for sins, which was in harmony and in according to the scriptures, which clearly foretold it. Now, the Apostle Paul had the scriptures, I'm sure, but he did not understand them. He did not see Christ crucified in the scriptures. He did not see justification by faith reckoned by the grace of God when he was surpassing his equals in Judaism. Now, did he? But he needed to see these things, and the only way he could was by a revelation of Jesus Christ. But the word revelation is not to be interpreted as being something completely unknown and hitherto not revealed. It simply means that it was revealed to him. As I said, you will not find the word mystery in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now I want to come back to Galatians chapter 1 and have a look at verses 6 to 10. Because I need to make it really quite clear as to what the perversion was that was disrupting the peace of these Galatian assemblies. Verse 6 in Galatians 1, the apostle says, "I marvel that you so soon are being moved away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel." Verse 7, "which is not another, but some are troubling you and desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ." There, Paul's gospel has a name, the gospel of Christ, the gospel concerning Christ, the gospel about Christ. That is indeed a gospel which was being perverted. The word means pervert means to turn, adulterate, if you will. It's a gospel which really wasn't a gospel, because it was elements added to it which were totally not in harmony with it. Now, we want to be careful, don't we, that we do not pervert or adulterate a gospel. Very important. If we want to preach the gospel of Christ, by all means. If we want to preach the gospel of the mystery of Ephesians 3, then we need to go very carefully, don't we, in the proclamation of that gospel. That includes being blessed with every spiritual blessing. That includes being chosen before the foundation of the world. That includes an inheritance in the heavenly places. That includes a raising and being seated together in the above heavens. That includes the one new man. That includes Christ as the head over the church, which is his body. And I've just mentioned a few things, and I'll tell you what, friends, you won't find one of those in the letter to the Galatians. It would be a terrible thing for us to be perverting the gospel of the present dispensation, wouldn't it? With elements that don't belong in it. That's not right division. Now, I want to focus just for a minute to make sure that we understand tonight, I've done this before, but this is critical. What is this perversion? I'm not sure, but maybe there are some who think that the other gospel is the gospel of Peter. Well, how did Peter pervert the gospel of Christ? Well, first of all, we determine what the trouble is and what are these perversions that are being brought in. Now, the word for trouble to agitate, to stir up or agitate. That's what the word trouble means. And I want to show it to you again. You see, this is one of the beautiful advantages of studying the Word of God by looking at the recurring words. Remember, the Holy Ghost inspired Paul. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That includes the letter to the Galatians. And if Paul used the word trouble, then it shouldn't be a trouble to us to look for the word trouble in other places, because then we'll know what the trouble is, won't we? And I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, we find Paul saying in verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength, but faith working through love. Whether you're circumcised or whether you're uncircumcised, says the apostle, has of no value, no weight, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you do not obey the truth?" Ah, so someone apparently is bringing in the matter of circumcision and uncircumcision. So now we have the word hindered you. Who hindered you that you do not obey the truth? It's one thing to know truth, isn't it? But we've all got to put it into practice, right? That's what's so tough about Bible study. It's what's so tough about perspiring and studying the Word. Once we see something and are convicted by the Holy Spirit, we've got to put it into practice now, haven't we? And I tell you what, friends, you know as well as I do that putting into practice the truth given to us by God through His Word will cost us. And it'll cost you family and friends and fellowship on a wider scale. Don't be hindered, friends, by acknowledging the truth but not acknowledging it. And acknowledge it includes putting it into practice. This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Remember chapter 1? Do you see? Can you see the differences? Let's see if we can go back to chapter 1 of Galatians and pick it up there. Galatians chapter 1. You are turned. Galatians 1:6. Remember, I marvel. Look at the word here. That you so soon are being moved away from him who called you. Galatians 5:8. This persuasion is not from him who calls you. What persuasion? The persuasion about circumcision. Back to chapter 5. And see if circumcision continues in the apostle's mind. A little leaven leavens all the lump, says the apostle. But in verse 10 of Galatians 5, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will think nothing else, but that he troubling you shall bear the judgment, whoever he may be. What judgment? What judgment? You see how the word of God is perfectly balanced? What judgment? What was the judgment in chapter 1 about the people who were troubling and perverting the gospel and preaching any other gospel, whether it be Paul or an angel? Let them be accursed. And now in Galatians 5:10, we have judgment. And look at verse 11. And I, brothers, if I yet proclaim circumcision, do you see, why am I still persecuted? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. And in this case, the offense of the cross must be seen in the eyes of the Judaizers who wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised to be saved. That's the trouble. That's the doctrine and perverted gospel of the troublemakers. But we have another passage to add weight to this conclusion. Verse 12. Look at this verse. I wish, says the apostle, that those causing you to doubt will cut themselves off. Isn't that an amazing weighted irony? A wonderful twist on the word circumcision, on the word cutting. You know, peritemno is a round cut. That's what circumcision is, friends. And Paul says, I want them to cut themselves off. Now do we see the perverted gospel here? Now, there's more proof, but let's finish. Verse 13 goes on to say, for brothers, you were called to liberty, only do not use liberty for an opening to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do you see? Circumcision is going back to the flesh. It's not a walk of faith. It's a walk of obligation under the curse of the law. And we're going to see the curse in Galatians chapter 3 when we get there. Blessings and curses. That's right through the book of Galatians. Now, when I say blessings and curses, I tell you what, there's got to be some Old Testament passages that we think of. How about I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you? Does that come to mind when we think of blessings and curses? What about Deuteronomy 28? When Israel under obedience were blessed or cursed? Wow, it certainly seems like Galatians has elements of the Old Testament kingdom dispensation, doesn't it? Now I want us to come to Galatians chapter 6 to see who these troublemakers are. To make sure that we have it firmly fixed in our mind that the perverted gospel has to do with those preaching circumcision to the Gentiles. Chapter 6, verse 11. See in what large letters I write to you with my hand, says the apostle. Some believe that he took the pen from the scribe and he wrote these words himself. Verse 12. As many as desire to look well in the, what's the word we just had in chapter 5? In the flesh, these compel you to be circumcised. Ah, there we are. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. It's the Jews who don't want to be condemned by their Jewish countrymen for cutting out circumcision, which was a command to Abraham under the law. Are you beginning to see who it is that's bringing in this perversion? It's Judaizers who are compelling faithful Gentiles to be circumcised because they want to look well in the flesh. Verse 13, for they themselves, having been circumcised, do not even keep the law. They don't even keep it. It's only a show in the flesh, an outward appearance, something to bring the accolades of others who do the same things. But they desire you to be circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Ah! Is there any doubt? Is there any doubt as to what the problem is and what the perversion is about? But may it never be for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, remember chapter 3, for there in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, etc., etc. For in Christ Jesus, in chapter 6, 15, neither circumcision has any strength nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. I believe that to be the elect remnant of which Paul and the believing Gentiles of that time were apart. Verse 17, for to the rest, let no one give troubles to me. Ah, the word trouble again. Remember in chapter 1, the word trouble. Chapter 5, the word trouble. Chapter 6, the word trouble. And it's all about those who wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised. Is there anyone in this room tonight who has any doubt what the perversion is? Well, if you do, let's go back to chapter 1. And we're going to find the word trouble. Verse 6, here we go again. I marvel that you so soon are being moved away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. Verse 7 goes on to say, but some are troubling you. And there's the word. We've wonderfully woven our way through the letter to the Galatians, following this word trouble. A couple of different words at the end there in chapter 5 and 6, but I didn't dwell upon them. Those of you who love studying Greek, look up the word trouble and you'll have an interesting time of it. Now this word trouble is the word means to stir or agitate, and it's Greek 5015 for those who like it, and we're going to find it in the book of Acts. And when we come to the book of Acts, we're going to come to chapter 15. And this is what happened at Antioch. And certain ones who came down from Judea taught the brothers, saying, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now the brothers in this context, you see, context explains everything, doesn't it? Do you think the brothers in Acts 15 verse 1 was the Jewish brothers? Answer, no. They were circumcised anyway, now weren't they? There were certain ones who came down from Judea who taught the Gentile believers, saying, unless you Gentiles are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, friends, they had scripture to back up their position. Genesis 17, the circumcision, the seal of the faith that Abraham had, writes the apostle, remember. You'll also find circumcision in in the Pentateuch, where the Lord said that if any Gentile wanted to participate in the Passover meal, he had to be circumcised. And they were using those scriptures. But we know that Paul's gospel included justification by faith without the works of the law. And that was given to him by a revelation, because if it wasn't, he'd have been preaching exactly the same thing as the Judaizers who were perverting the gospel of Christ. Praise God for the gospel given to Paul by revelation. Now, in this Acts chapter 15, I think in verse 5, we get an identification of this Judaizing group. But some of those from the sect of the Pharisees, having believed, they're believers, you see. That's why they were accepted in the Galatian assemblies. They were believers. Paul refers to them as false brethren, coming in to spy out liberty. They're believers. They rose up saying it was necessary to circumcise the Gentile believers and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And there's the Galatian perversion in Acts 15:1 and 15:5. Now I'm coming down to Acts 15, verse 24, and this is where we're going to conclude this introductory audio. Thank you so much for your patience tonight. In verse 23 of Acts 15, a letter is written regarding the decision reached by the council as regards to the walk of the believing Gentiles. Remember, this council is not about what a Gentile had to do to be saved. That was resolved in Peter's speech back up there from verse 7 onwards, where God made no difference, purifying their hearts by faith, by grace, he says, speaking to the assembly. Acts 15:23, and they wrote these things by their hand. The apostles and elders and brothers send greeting to the brothers from the nations in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Okay, well, this is not Galatia, but nevertheless, it's about the same matter. Now look at verse 24. Because we have heard that certain ones who went out from us have... What did they do? What's the word in verse 24, everybody? Went out from us having troubled you with words. And that word, trouble, is the identical word that Paul uses in Galatians 1:7 and Galatians 5:10. Do you see? That's the perverted gospel. And you'll never find Peter preaching that to anybody. This is very important. And I wanted this as an introduction to Paul's gospel out of Galatians. So the trouble, the disruption, the stirring up and the agitation in the churches of Galatia was this gospel which was not another gospel, which was a perversion, a turning away from the truth, the grace of the one who had called them, included the works of the law for salvation. And when we pick up this theme next time, whenever that might be, we're going to find that right through Galatians, Paul, as we all know so well, is emphasizing faith as opposed to the works of the law. But we're going to see curse and blessing running through that wonderful theme. Thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for your company. And may this study of Galatians, an introduction to Paul's gospel given by revelation, be an inspiration to you to pursue your own personal Bible study in a greater, deeper, fuller, and more exciting way. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your word and your Holy Spirit who dwells among us. We thank you for the understanding that the Word and the Holy Spirit brings us. We bless and praise you, Father, for this opportunity. Help each and every one of us in this Pal Talk room, and for those who will ultimately listen to the audio, may your Word be honoured, your Son be glorified, and the truth rightly divided. Through Christ our Lord, we praise and bless you and bring these requests. Amen.